Five, four, three.
Welcome back, folks. Your host, John G, here back with my right-hand man, Bradley Daniel, and our producer, Stretton Jovanovic. And here to recap week eight, which was a pretty, it was an all right week. Nothing too crazy, nothing. You had your typical guys who did a pretty decent job, and then you had kind of a lot of guys who you're kind of thinking, is the pace going to change? Factors in with a little bit of sprinkle of some trades, which are going to be a little bit affected that we'll dabble into here. But quickly to start things off, you want to say hello, Brad?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi. I thought there was some good things about this week, but for a fantasy aspect, I thought there was a lot of down scoring, and you know, definitely. We'll get into that here.
Definitely. First things first.
Yeah.
Go ahead and sigh. Baltimore 40, Dolphins 0-0.
Can only go up from there.
Hey, you better hope. Oh, that was pretty ugly. I mean, not a whole lot to talk about here. I mean, like we were talking about earlier, talked about a little bit last week, Alex Collins has been that bad between him and Buck Allen, and looks like he took one step forward this week. I mean, I say if they're in competing, look for him to get the ball and, you know, given the play of screen passes on a, you know, chasing the visitor team or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He had 20 carries for 113 yards, so.
It's what you want to look, you know, a little over five.
And that situation is going to get a little more cloudy here because Danny Woodhead just came off IR, so he might be thrown back in the mix too. But
uh-oh.
Yeah, the Dolphins really had a bad week. And
I'm going to add him right now.
Kiko Alonso destroyed Joe Flacco. But,
yeah.
It looks like Flacco's going to be able to play this week.
It'll be interesting. But yeah, no, I did hear about that. Everyone was talking about him getting suspended for the hit, but I thought it looked good to me. I'm glad he destroyed him because, honestly, who likes Joe Flacco?
Yeah, no, nobody really cares for him. He's below average, I guess, now. He had that one good season, but.
Yeah. But on the other side of things, defense for the Ravens looked really good. I almost dropped them to pick up the Bad News Bears. And I'll tell you what, man, I'm glad I didn't because they almost won me the game. Almost. No, but
those Thursday night CJ games,
Mosley, man.
Those road teams always, for more often than not, those road teams struggle on those Thursday nights. And, you know, Baltimore just took it to them.
And the Dolphins suck, so there's a good reason.
Yeah, Matt Moore is not much better than Cutler, if he's even better than Cutler.
Nah, no doubt. Vikings 33, Browns 16, which looked like it was going to be a close game from the get-go and then kind of tapered off, and Vikings took that one down. Quick notes, Thielen, 5 for 98 and a touchdown. And just to touch on this, and then we'll reach more, but Browns, way to pull the dope on A.J. McCarron, man. Ugh.
Well, did you see they had a second and a third for McCarron, which is, I mean, when you give up a second for Garoppolo.
Oh, yeah.
They were going to give up a second and a third for McCarron. I'm sure there's people all over happy that trade did not go down.
But you know what? They got the picks from the trade this year. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah. So. But still, I mean, they need the picks right now. And, yeah, they can't do anything right. Cleveland Browns are just awful at everything. So yeah,
Cleveland as a city.
Yeah,
you guys suck.
It is pretty awful.
Okay, Falcons 25 over the Jets. Hey, I've been all about Mr. McCown, and I'll pass him Matt Ryan in that game. Both of them looked decent.
I mean, yeah, they were both about average.
Over 250 with the touchdown. Robbie Anderson, man.
104.
Looking good, touchdown. Man. Looking good. It's someone I didn't expect. I thought he was going to just fall off the earth, but he's looking good. And Tevin Coleman, you know, ended up coming in. I know Freeman was a little bit banged
yeah,
up.
Banged
but,
up there.
Out snapping Freeman and showing better on the average. So something to monitor for sure. I like the fact that he's getting an opportunity, but you know they won't give it to him outright because they just signed Freeman a huge contract. But if anything, could be some trade bait for him.
Yeah, they're going to continue to roll with the two guys. And the only other guy I'd like to touch on, Sanu. I know you've talked about him a little bit this year. He had six catches, 74 yards, and a touchdown. And clearly, you know, of course, Julio's always going to draw the double coverage. And now Sanu is looking like, you know, the guy everyone expected. He's going to be the guy that's going to, you know, benefit from that double coverage. And so far, since he's come back from the injury, he's looked pretty good.
Yeah. We'll see how things trend forward, you know. Obviously, the Falcons are not a team we could really rely on, but we'll see what happens. on a kind of weak game. Panthers 17, Bucks 3. Not a whole lot to highlight there, just to touch on, which we'll get more into. I don't want to go too much, but we'll be looking at Funchess, McCaffrey, and Dixon here in the next couple weeks, see where their stock's going, because the departure of Kelvin Benjamin is going to open some doors and probably close more on Cam Newton.
Yeah.
More than anything.
It was a strange trade. I don't know.
I didn't get that at all.
I guess they did it to kind of help open up the running game is what they said, which I don't understand. And you lose a passing option, aren't you going to key more on the run after that? But that game was not a very good game. And as I said, the fantasy-wise, across the league was bad. Doug Martin led everyone, receiving, passing, 71 yards. That was the most yards anyone got in that game. So
that's ridiculous.
That's a bad game.
Next game, Niners 10, Eagles 33. I was thinking the Eagles were going to manhandle the Niners. I mean, the score does say it, but as far as offensive output, I figured Carson Wentz going to do a little bit more. Alshon showed up for the first time this year, I feel like. Got a little bit on the board, but, you know, I think they got him on a one-year deal. Watch him come back to Chicago. Won't that be ironic? Like an $8 million deal.
Well, you know, he had the 53-yard touchdown, and then that was pretty much it. He only had two catches in that game, and I don't know. I don't know if he's really bringing himself up to that level of contract he wanted. You know, he's still got, obviously, you know, 6 weeks to go here. No, more than that, 8 weeks to go. So he can still kind of make some money, but right now I don't know if you're going to go out and pay him that huge, ridiculous contract you saw.
Oh, no.
Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas.
No, definitely not. Bears 12, unfortunately, and New Orleans 20. Had a chance to bring it down the field. Had a couple different technical issues, including a guy almost losing his leg that could have turned the game around. And unfortunate for Zach Miller, obviously, you know, hoping he recovers well, because that's just a crazy scenario there. I still couldn't believe that when someone told me the next day, like, he might lose his leg. I'm like, man, you're a dick.
Yeah, and I mean, so everything I heard, he's doing well, and he might be able to play again someday. But the overturn of the touchdown might be the single worst call we've ever seen in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, what does he have to do to complete the process? Does he have to get up, walk over to the bench, you know, throw the football to a ref? I mean, he's laying there with a cut artery after he dislocated his knee, and he's still holding the ball, and then finally he just lets go. So I don't know what they saw in New York or whoever's looking at it, but
that was an awful call, man. That definitely changed the pace of the game.
This is what hurts the NFL more than all the other outside stuff, is confusion of the rules and just bad officiating. This is what people are like, why am I watching this? I don't know what I'm looking at anymore. If you can't see, that's a catch.
Bring those scabs back in.
Well, of course, remember the scab, the Seahawks-Packer game that
got... I was happy with that.
Well, I'm sure you were, but when one guy says safety, the other guy says touchdown. It's kind of like...
It is what it is. But... Yeah, Ingram, a couple fumble issues, which, I mean, he's been playing good, but that can't continue. And Kamara's shown that he's right behind him waiting for that opportunity. And
yeah, absolutely.
He's been getting good points to himself. So that's going to be an interesting scenario to see here coming down in the next couple weeks.
Well, they're the perfect two-headed monster at the running back. You got
the
bruiser that can get you the tough yards in between the tackles, and then Kamara, who's going to catch the ball, get outside the tackles, and do some damage. So that is, like, the perfect running back situation. And the Bears kind of have the same thing. Although,
yeah, but, again, you know, I'll give the upper hand to Kamara for sure, just because he's got a little bit more meat to him.
Yeah, he's not
get through the
5'6".
Yeah. Doesn't try to play Madden and
do too much in the backfield going sideline to sideline.
Oh, man. But, yeah, so it is what it is. Bears got a much-needed bye week, and hopefully something comes out of that, because, you know, it's looking pretty rough. And, you know, in-man hopefully better get in and get into that playbook and show that. That's why they picked him up and traded a pick away, because Ryan Pace is a dumbass. Next game, Chargers 13, Pats 21. Melvin Gordon looking pretty good. Ran for a handful of yards. This is what was funny. Brady's running backs led the way in receiving, which is weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah, both
White,
of them, two of them.
Burkhead.
White and Burkhead, yeah. It wasn't like, you know, just Burkhead got it, it was just all White. But, yeah, White was number one, I believe, and Burkhead was number two. And, I mean, this is a guy that will throw the ball to everybody. So, if you're sitting there thinking Cooks is a must-play every week, you're probably right, because he's going to have these weeks where he can put up 30 points, but he's going to have a week like this where he doesn't do a whole lot. And that's just because they pass it around so much. Brady, he only threw for one touchdown, too. Mm-hmm. So you weren't getting a whole lot there, and it was to Gronk.
Yeah.
But it's so tough because you got Amendola and Hogan, and, of course, I already mentioned Gronk and Cooks. So, yeah, and then you get these running backs going. And now Lewis is another one that gets all these touches in the receiving game. So, I mean, you got to play those guys because Gronk and Cooks because they're studs. But don't be surprised when you have a week like that.
Yeah, no, it's too risky. Too risky, in my opinion. Even wide receivers are kind of wishy-washy and week mm-hmm. to week, back and forth. But that's how the Pats win Super Bowls.
Yeah, exactly.
Raiders 14, Bills 31. Just a quick touch. LeSean McCoy, 27. 151 and one TD. Kind of going to the fact that give the guy the ball like the Le'Veon Bell, just make him run, give him the carries. Eventually, they'll find a way to get that carry, you know. And it's something which we'll talk about here with the Chiefs. You know, Kareem Hunt, they're kind of limiting him. And I feel like, yeah, they gave him 20 carries, but you got to consistently give him them carries. You know what I mean? I know you got to rest them every once in a while, but, and they're running the same running plays. But I'm not trying to steer off of the game we're talking about, but. Just a comparison.
No, yeah, absolutely.
You know, you gotta give him the ball and you gotta give him the opportunity.
And the two Bears overtime wins, what was it? It was Jordan Howard wearing down that defense, and finally he broke a big one that set him up. And, I mean, that is what you gotta do with these running backs, especially if they can handle the amount of carries. You know, you're not gonna do that with, you know, Kamara or Cohen like we just talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, but the big guys that can handle it, give them the ball 20, 25 times, good things will usually happen for you.
Definitely. Cooper disappeared again, and that's going to be interesting to see here what happens with that. I mean, Derek Carr didn't have too bad of a game, but it's just it's iffy for Raider fans right now. And from what was going to be a real productive year, a couple nicks here and there, suspensions, and now they're just all out of whack. And hopefully they get together here for the playoffs start when the real games start.
Well, luckily for them right now, the final wild card spot belongs to Miami, so they're not staying there. So that wild card spot will be up for grabs, and I think there's no other team that is above 500 except for the six current playoff teams. So they're 3-5. They can easily still weasel their way into that final playoff spot.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Colts put up a pretty close one. 23, loss of the Bengals, 24. Mixon, everyone's been wanting him to get his carries, and he just didn't do shit. One person to touch on that boring game was Jack Doyle, 12 for 121 and one TD. Guess if you need a tight end, man, maybe roll the dice on him, but, you know, we'll see what happens here. It's strong Cincinnati defense, too, so it's mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mixon, again, I mean, that offensive line, I think, is just not very good, and because that's a matchup that he should have done well. 11 for 18, just not going to cut it. Luckily, if you played him, he did get 91 yards receiving, but yeah, I don't know. I think he's running out of good matchups too. The schedule's going to get tougher for Cincinnati, so I don't know. If he doesn't turn around here, it might just be stash him on your bench.
Next game, Texans 38, Seahawks 41. Man, what a shootout.
Oh, hell yeah. This was
Russell Wilson, 452, 4 TDs. Watson, 402 and 4 TDs. Hopkins and Fuller, man. I've been trying to think of a duo if they keep playing the way they do. Of who they remind me of. You know what I mean? Just unbelievable. And you know what's crazy is they are affecting Lamar Miller's play. Yes. They're opening up the field for him, and they're not even giving Dante Foreman a chance because they're letting Miller have that opportunity, which I like as an owner. But it just amazed me how good their wide receivers are. And Watson, you know, just...
Yeah, Watson going to Seattle, a tough place for anybody to play.
I sat him. I had Carr and Watson. And I sat him. I'm like, no way. And I lost because of that, nonetheless. I'm like,
well, yeah. That's a tough one, though. Like I said, I mean, Seattle, we know they're always a tough place to play. And even if they're not as good as they were a couple years ago, they're still pretty damn good. But yeah, Hopkins can do it all. And that touchdown he had, that little screen pass that he just takes off and scores a touchdown.
Yeah.
What's nice about Fuller, it seems like all he does is catches touchdowns. I think he's got like 7 now in 5 games.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that probably won't last. It can't. That's a ridiculous pace. But right now, you just got to keep riding him, and he's doing well. And, you know, like
we'll
said, Miller had a nice game, too, 2 touchdowns. You know, the only bad thing in this game I noticed, Seattle's rushing attack.
I was just about to say, dude, 4 carries outside of Wilson, 17 attempts for 6 yards.
Yeah, absolutely terrible. I mean, they got nothing going. Nobody can get, and of course, they made a trade and got a good offensive tackle now. So I don't know how much that really helps them there. It's going to help Wilson. I mean, his blind side is going to be protected now. So
17 for 6 yards.
That's terrible. And nobody. There wasn't McKissick, Rawls, Lacey, whoever got in there just didn't do anything. Man. So
yeah, I mean, what does that say about the Texans' D? You know what I mean? And the other thing, thinking if you're a defensive coordinator somewhere, you're probably looking at just QB spying like Urlacher used to do back in the day on Vic, you know? Just follow him, see where he's going, and shut him down. But with no running game, give it a couple weeks for someone catches on here. I don't see that lasting long.
No, they got to figure something out.
Cowboys 33, Skins 19. Ezekiel Elliott's bon voyage before he hits that bench for 6 games, which we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah. But
I'm hoping he just does. I got him in one league, and I think I'm top of the charts, and it sucks because it's like, well, just do your suspension now so I got you for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because you're just screwing me.
Right now, he'll miss. He'll come back week 15, which in most leagues is semifinals. So if you have him in your first round of the playoffs, you're going to be without him.
Yeah. Better hope you get a bye.
You better hope you get a bye. Exactly. So, yeah, he had 150 yards total, 2 touchdowns. I mean, he is really, really good, and you want him in the postseason. Mm-hmm. And this whole thing might end up screwing fantasy owners.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's what I say it away, and I think he came back to me in the second round, which was like almost 28th pick, and I'm like, I gotta take him.
Yeah, at that point, because I mean, he was fighting, and he almost got through the whole season here.
We'll see, man. We'll see. Like I said, he's definitely gonna kill me on that side of things. But let me ask you this: given where he's at rushing wise, and coming back in week 15 for 2 games, you think he'll still outrush majority of the league? Where is that? Majority of the league starters, let's say that. And he's probably at like 650 or something like that, I want to say.
He's probably got more than that, right? He's played 8 games? No, they had their bye already. So, yeah, they played 7 games. Yeah, maybe he's around 600-700, somewhere in there. You figure he's gonna come back 15, 16, and 17. So he'll have 3 more games. So 10 games for that guy with the way he runs and how, you know, good he has been. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he could probably still definitely be top 20 in rushing yards at the end of the year.
Really? Yeah. I could see it, man. And that's what's crazy to see where he's at, like just how dominant of a player he is that he'll still dominate on the front of, you know, best in the league. I shouldn't say best, but, you know, he'll be up there.
Yeah, definitely.
but, yeah, like I said, aside from Elliott, another kind of weak game. Kirk Cousins obviously just kicked Terrell Pryor to the curb.
Yep.
Jameson Crowder.
Jameson Crowder finally showed up.
Yep. Looked pretty good, but still don't trust it. I just don't trust Cousins right now. And I tell you what, I don't know if McVay was that good. I mean, obviously he's doing good with the Rams, but can that guy have that much of an effect on one player? I mean, they lost Garcon. Pryor was supposed to be a good pickup for him. He looked good early in the year, and it's just like something happened there.
You're seeing the same thing in Atlanta.
Maybe he banged Cousins' wife.
but anyway, you're seeing the same thing in Atlanta. You know, these offensive coordinators leave, and, you know, they're just not the same offense, and the quarterback just isn't the same. I mean, you know, Tom Brady is basically offensive coordinator proof. You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Same thing with Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers. Whoever's the coordinator doesn't matter. But when it comes to these next, you know, second, third tier quarterbacks and so forth, it really matters that they're in the right offense. They got the right guys coaching mm-hmm. them. And yeah, I think Kirk Cousins, he's still going to get paid because someone's going to say, you know,
like, oh yeah,
we need a quarterback.
Look at teams like the Browns, you know, they'll,
yeah, if they're going to give up a second and a third for McCarron, don't you think they'll throw $125 million at Kirk Cousins? Yeah.
Another thing, quick touch on Thompson, you know, as long as he's getting touches, he's being productive.
Yep.
And Kelly's going in there not doing anything at all. So hopefully Gruden realizes this, because I feel like he's in the hot seat too. You know, he's got to realize just to give Thompson the ball. He's showing on his carries. He's averaging about 5 yards. Like, you got to let it go. Stop worrying about him getting hurt. You know, kind of weak sauce. But next game, Steelers 20, Detroit 15. Hey, who have I been talking about all season?
Juju.
Juju. Look at him just blowing up.
Yeah, that as soon as that happened, that big touchdown catch, like I knew that this was you're gonna just say, hey, so what is who's this guy? I mean, he's got some talent. He's obviously just completely replaced Martavis Bryant, and with Martavis out the last few years with the suspension, it was always okay. Someone's gonna have success there because Antonio Brown's gonna get all the coverage, and nobody ever did. And this might finally be the guy because you thought Brian was going to be that guy.
Yeah.
And it clearly isn't working out. So, yeah, Juju Smith-Schuster looks like a pretty good play now.
7-193 in a TD.
Yeah. I mean,
and would he break the record for the longest touchdown from scrimmage, I believe, for the Steelers?
Oh, yeah. It was a 97-yard touchdown. Yeah. So it could very well be. I mean, it's only 2 yards longer that it could be. So,
yeah. And Jones, Marvin Jones looked good too.
Yeah,
for 128. I know you were talking about him last week.
Stafford had 423 yards. So yeah. I mean, Tate got involved. The other Jones got involved. Just unbelievable. They could not punch one in to the end zone there. And you know, you can't win games with five field goals unless you know you're the Titans playing the Browns. I guess. That's what I was about
to say. Oh man, last game Broncos 19, Chiefs 29. Just want something to touch on there. Kelce, 7-133 in a TD. He was looking pretty good. Kareem Hunt, like I said, he got his 20 carries, but he only went about 2 yards a carry, yeah, which isn't going to do anyone.
That Denver defense has shut everyone down. Even Ezekiel Elliott, they held him under 10 yards in that game. That breaks Hunt's streak of 100-plus yards.
Yeah.
He only had 68 total. But, hey, as long as the Chiefs keep winning, I don't think he's going to be upset about that.
You know, Broncos got to do something with Simeon. I know Emmanuel Sanders is hurt.
They benched him today.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brock Osweiler is going to get a start this week.
They kept showing him, and I'm like, God, this guy, what are the odds? Gets paid all that money for nothing and just comes strolling back.
Yeah, he's back in Denver. He's happy. He's got a ton of money, so.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to stay in Cleveland.
Yeah. Makes sense. So smoothing into what we would normally do is a waiver wire here, but since there isn't really too crazy of people to pick up. I mean, we talked about Crowder, and, you know, you got your – well, I'm not going to get to him yet because we're going to get to him in a second. But we're going to talk about some trades here that are going to definitely affect not only the people getting traded, but the teammates surrounding them and the teammates that they left. First guy, Kelvin Benjamin, Brad. What did you think about that deal? Shocking?
It was very shocking. Like I said earlier, I mean – the GM for the Panthers said it's going to open up the running game, you know, and I just can't, I mean, unless he's talking about now McCaffrey's going to be able to get more touches and that's what they want. I don't see it at all. For Benjamin's point of view, you're talking about a team that was throwing the ball like 34 times a game to now going to a team that throws it 28 times. And Buffalo, I believe, is last in the league in percentage of passes.
Tyrod doesn't throw the ball a lot.
No, they don't. They give it to McCoy, they let him run it, and they give it to Tolbert, whoever. But it's a bad situation for him. Although, who else is really there to steal the targets?
Good job by the Bills. Third and seventh round pick. You figure third pick, I mean, where are they going to be at? You know, somewhere in like the 80s. Yeah. I'm assuming somewhere around there. And seventh round, you know that guy is going to get cut.
No,
unless they win the lottery and get one of them, you know.
But
Tyrod's stock's going to go up a little bit, though.
Tyrod's stock will go up. I don't think it really affects McCoy too much. It might actually make him go up a little bit, too, because they finally got something on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy that really takes a jump is Funchess, because now he's the number one. Because you got McCaffrey, Greg Olsen's coming back in maybe a week or two. So you're going to have him catching passes, and he'll be the number one guy for Cam. He always has been. Mm-hmm. And then you got McCaffrey. But now Funchess, instead of being the fourth guy, is the third guy. So that could be something. And with Olsen out for the next couple of weeks, Funchess is number one or number two, and that could be pretty good. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, the other thing I don't understand is the Panthers are 5-3. They're right in the playoff race. So it's not like they were 3-5. And, you know, Benjamin's probably coming up on the end of his contract. No, I couldn't figure that one out for the life of me from Carolina's side of it. But, yeah, Tyrod's going to get a little bump, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what happens on both sides of the ball. But, like I said, should have been something the Bears went after for that small price there, but they don't get a third round because they traded away. Yeah. Next guy, one of your home slices, Jay Ajayi.
Yeah,
going to the Eagles for a fourth round pick.
Yeah, as soon as this happened, I get texts from people saying, you know, did you hear about Ajayi, all that, and fourth round pick, like, why did they do it? And apparently Adam Gase hasn't been very happy with the way he's doing all his little dancing in the backfield. Instead of hitting the hole and picking up 3-4 yards,
yeah,
he's constantly looking for that big play, and they didn't want that, you know, because they're constantly, especially with how bad their offense has been this year.
Well, you know, and it's weird because he was, the past year, you know, towards the end of the season, he's always a late bloomer at the end of the season, and he's a guy yards after contact. He, like, led the league.
Yeah.
And it's like, why is he trying to do that?
Yeah, for the last whatever many games from the start of last season, so 24 games or so here, 23 games, he led the league in missed tackles forced. So, you know, he can do that. And, of course, last year he was amazing after first contact.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he gets back in that backfield, starts, you know, making all these moves, and then gets thrown for a loss, 3-4 yard loss. And when you're, like I said, when your offense is as bad as it is, you can't be 2nd and 13.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to be getting that 3 yard gain instead of looking for that big hitter. And he hadn't been doing, you know, 25 plus yard carries. He had 0 of those this year.
Now, do you think the fourth round is a sufficient prize for him? Or do you think that maybe the Dolphins are selling on some damaged goods that they know about?
He has had the knee issues too. So that might have factored in, but he passes physical. That wasn't an issue for Philly. I think the bigger problem is it's the position. The running backs just nobody.
Oh, yeah, you get the crap beat out of you.
Nobody covets them, you know. Nobody's like, oh, yeah, I need to get this. So I'm sure the market really wasn't hot for him. So if they really wanted to get rid of him, they took whatever they can get. And now from the Philly side of this, now he goes to Philly. So if you have Ajayi, now he goes to Philly who has LeGarrette Blount. So while Philly does run the ball more because they run more plays, you got to figure Ajayi is still probably going to be in that 15 to 18 carries a game.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have an even split and just kind of be right there, whoever play the hot hand. Blunt's going to be the goal line guy, of course. But I don't know how bad it hurts him, if it hurts him at all. Because he goes from the worst offense in the league to one of the best.
I think his stock's going to go up for sure.
Yeah.
It might not be nothing huge, but it'll be at least 3 points a game.
But you now you do have to worry about that other guy, which there was no other guy in Miami, so that was good.
There was nobody in Miami.
And it was just him. So maybe, you know, defenses are just keying on him, and that's why he's had such a rough go of it. But I wouldn't be surprised, you know, 2-3 weeks down the line here, they have a bye week, week 10, so they play this week. He'll have 2 weeks, and then week 11 when they come back, it wouldn't be surprised if he's like the guy getting all the carries and ends up leading them and rushing by quite a bit.
See, that's what kind of screwed me was because he went from already having his bye week,
yeah,
to not like I had.
He's gonna
three
have
running
two
backs
buyers.
with the week 10 bye week, and now he goes. I'm like, I got one running back now, and it's a deep league. I'm screwed. Yeah, so it's like whatever. And for the record, I just trade I was telling you about. I was getting trade talks for Derrick Henry. I ended up giving up Derrick Henry in my 6th round, and then I got the guy's 4th round. So
nice.
So it was good.
4th round's
good acquisition.
Solid pick there.
And that's the biggest. That's the furthest you can get as far as draft picks in this league. Only up to the 4th.
Okay.
So just it's a little bit fair. Yeah, you know what I mean? You can't like sell out and just get whatever. But
yeah, it's funny. I made a trade too. I think it was Monday night. I texted, you know, saying, hey, running back, receiver. You need a receiver. I need a running back. So I sent Will Fuller and Devontae Parker. Fuller's obviously the key piece there. And for Joe Mixon and Jay Ajayi. Well, then this news breaks. I'm like, well, I don't know if this is a good thing. And like you said, now I got to face another bye.
Yeah.
So that kind of sucks. But, I mean, I'm stacked a receiver, so it doesn't really hurt me to lose Fuller. But anyway, the guys that really get helped out here, Carson Wentz should have a...
Yeah, it's going to definitely
help
him out.
But now you got the other two running backs, Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake for the Dolphins. They're probably not great options because that Dolphins offense is really bad. But it's worth a situation. Just pick them up, stash them. If one of them hits and has a good last few weeks of the season for the playoff run, who knows? That might win you a league.
Right on, right on. Last trade, really talk about Garoppolo to the Niners for just a 2nd round pick. As crazy as that was, because all the hype that they were talking about, and the Bears' 2nd round pick at that. Nah, I'm joking, but you know, pretty much it was their package to kind of get him over there. So, yeah, I was a little bit shocked about that. And on the flip side of things, you're looking at the Pats. It's like, you got a lot of trust in Brady. You get rid of Brissett. Get rid of Garoppolo. You sign Hoyer, which, yeah, I mean, I don't know what that's going to get you.
Yeah. You figure Garoppolo probably won't play this week. Coming? If he plays week 10, I'd be surprised too, because the Niners have a bye in week 11. So if Garoppolo goes week 12, I think that's going to be great for Garcon. And if they have a guy, if Hyde can stay healthy and be the guy, great. If he's out, Breida looks like he's a solid play then, because now you actually have what is supposed to be a competent quarterback. I mean, still very, very small sample size on him, so I don't really know. But I think that is really good for the Niners for the future. And that hurts Kirk Cousins, because that was a big landing spot for him is what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if Brady gets hurt right now, you can forget about it, because Brian Hoyer is not going to lead you to a Super Bowl or AFC Championship game.
And not to have every team's talk lead back to the Chicago Bears, but just has me thinking about that Mitch, the whole trade and all that jazz. It's like, man, we gave up a lot. Knowing that we could have gotten Garoppolo, bit the bullet, and we overpaid the shit out of Glennon. It's like, it was just bad move after bad move. And I like Mitch, don't get me wrong. I like what he's got. I like his rollout, able to move. But, man, that would have been interesting to see there.
Yeah.
Chicago product. I think he went to Eastern Illinois, grew up around the area. Yep. So, well, let's not dread on the past here, but let's move on to the next segment. Who you got?
Who you got?
And this one's going to be a little bit different because a gentleman I'm playing has got Tom Brady. Remember we talked about how people just got one quarterback, which is like, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, he's got Tom Brady, no other quarterback, and his only quarterbacks to pick up, worth noting, Josh McCown, Jacoby Brissett, Eli Manning, and Shane Falco.
Oh, Shane Falco for the Washington Sentinels? Is that what they are?
Yeah, that's scab.
Flacco, whatever. Yeah. Okay, so Flacco is going to play after possibly being out after that vicious hit.
Yeah.
And they're going to Tennessee. Brissett is going to Houston. McCown is hosting the Bills tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football. And then Eli Manning's the last one you said there. And real quick, they're hosting the Rams. So I'm going to just throw out real quick and just throw out Eli, because I don't like his weapons. Yeah. And plus, the Rams have a pretty good secondary and have been doing good things there. And I'll throw out McCown, too, just for the simple fact that Bills defense is really, really good. So it just leaves me with Flacco and Brissett. And although Flacco was doing okay in that game against Miami, he's just meh. He doesn't do a whole lot for you. And while Jacoby Brissett has had some nice games, and we just saw Houston get torched by Russell Wilson, so maybe Brissett can roll out of the pocket, and he's a guy that can be mobile at times, but I think just because that Houston defense is a little banged up, I think Brissett's the clear pickup here for this situation. So I would definitely go with Jacoby Brissett against Houston.
It's not a bad pick. Not a bad pick at all, man. You know what I mean? I can definitely see that. And like I said, hopefully he just forgets to pick anybody up.
All right. Well, for quarterback here, I got Cam Newton's hosting the Falcons, or Derek Carr at Miami on Sunday Night Football.
Sunday Night Football. Well, I'll tell you what. Honestly, I'm thinking that Carr is going to be your best option to go with here. Dolphins with no quarterback, trial running a new running back. I feel like there's going to be a good big game, honestly, for the Raiders defense. They're going to have a lot of opportunity to kind of just shut them down, which is going to, on the flip side of things, open the ball up for their offense. And, expect Derek Carr to do some big things. Marshawn Lynch maybe to come out, run the ball. But feeling a little bit of Cooper. Maybe Cooper's going to come back into the environment here. So, final answer, Carr.
Yeah, Carr still got all his favorite options. Cooper, Cook, Crabtree. And, of course, Newton, we just talked about earlier, just lost one of his favorite targets. So you don't know how that's going to affect him. But, yeah, Carr seems like the good play here.
Yeah. Nah, no doubt, no doubt. So for my running backs, I have Alex Collins at
Titans.
Titans, I'll say. Tennessee. Doug Martin at Nollins.
Okay, Doug Martin still clearly the number one guy there. Nobody's really taken carries from him. Collins, although last week and in the last few weeks he's been the guy, Buck Allen's still there, can still take carries away from him. And like I said, I don't know if Woodhead's going to be active right away since coming off IR, but if he does play, that's going to need to take even more away from Collins. So as I traditionally always do, I like the guy that's going to get you the bulk of the touches, and that's going to be Doug Martin against New Orleans this week. So, and I think that game could be high scoring. I think those two offenses can be good, and especially if Winston's healthy, and he's a little banged up still. But if he's good to go, those two offenses can put points on the board, and Tampa Bay, New Orleans defense has been pretty good, but I think they might not be as good as they really are, and we might see the Doug Martin and the run offense get some yardage there. So
that's a team that has got the talent, you know what I mean, but I'm waiting for them to step up and kind of do a little bit more. So be interesting to see here.
All right, my running back question for you is, I'm gonna need two guys here and give you three options. I just talked on Collins. He's gonna be one of the guys. Collins going up against the Titans in Tennessee, C.J. Anderson taking on the Eagles in Philly, or Derrick Henry hosting the Ravens.
Well, I'll go with my Sherlock. Sherlock would be Alex Collins. I think they're going to definitely give him another chance and see what he can do. At this point, it's kind of stupid for him to bounce back and forth between him and Buck Allen. As long as he's shown he could step up, he might as well move forward with him. C.J. Anderson. Now, that's a tempting one right there, given the circumstances how he ran last week. I mean, he hasn't been doing anything all year, and I don't really expect him to, but, Booker was showing like he's got a little bit. If Charles didn't fumble, he was showing like he had a lot of stuff, and there's a lot going on there in that backfield, which has me kind of hesitant and, just thinking about Henry after I trade him away, and then I start hearing about these trade rumors for Murray, and I'm like,
oh man, that would have broke your heart.
Oh, it would have killed me. Yeah. I'm like, is that why you were pushing for me to get this deal done last night?
I was pushing, but I was hoping Murray was going to get shipped out because I got Henry in one of my leagues too. Yeah.
So, I mean, he would have been a 6th round keeper too, so I'm like, oh man. But nonetheless, I'm going to have to go with C.J. Anderson, as much as it pains me, over a tough Eagles defense.
Yeah, he was pretty good last week. 15 for 78 for Anderson last week. And again, Henry, you don't know what you're going to get with him and Murray. So, yeah. Collins and Anderson. I mean, I guess it's a good scenario to be in, that tough little, those three decent ones, So, all right.
Oh, Nelly. Well, you ready for your last wide receiver here?
Yeah.
Not too bad. Jordy Nelson versus Detroit, or Marvin Jones at Green Bay?
All right, they're going up against each other. It's going to be a Monday night game. And I'm going to make it real quick and easy. Although Jordy Nelson is a first or second round pick in a lot of leagues this year, without Rodgers and with Hundley as his quarterback, I'm just not ready to trust any receivers, unless you were just decimated by the buys this week, and that could be. But for this question here, you got Jones and Nelson, Jones had a nice week last week.
Yeah,
so did Stafford. Green Bay's pass defense isn't great, so yeah, give me Jones. Hopefully, he can get you another 120 yards or so.
I agree. I think it's a solid pick. Yeah, I'd stay away from all Green Bay's. One thing, I think I would play. Is Jones. Aaron Jones, yeah. Only way. Yeah. I mean, cut ties with Ty, yeah. Unfortunately, but yeah, you know what I mean? We'll see what happens, but Marvin Jones, good play.
All right, last receiver question for you here. You got Jeremy Maclin taking on the Titans in Tennessee, or Sterling Shepard taking on the Rams, hosting the Rams.
You know, as much as I do not like Eli, and I don't think he's going to do anything, and flip side things, you know, Macklin with Flacco, if Flacco's out, I think I'm going to have to go with Shepard just because he's a little more high profile. May see more targets. He may not catch them, but at least it'll keep the fantasy owner intrigued. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got to go with Shepard there. As crappy as whoever's roster that is, I'd probably drop out of fantasy football.
You know, it's this bye week here. Real quick, we haven't touched on who actually is on bye. If you don't know, you got the Bears, of course. Then you got Minnesota Vikings, Pittsburgh Steelers, L.A. Chargers, Cleveland Browns, which doesn't hurt anybody, and New England Patriots. So six teams on bye, so a lot of, you know, pretty high profile. I mean, Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, Cooks, and Brown and Juju. Give me Juju. So I mean, yeah. So it's a tough
week. Being anti-Semitic.
Tough week with all those buys, but yeah. And real quick, since if you've made it this long, you can give us a phone call at 219-576-6797. Leave us a voicemail with any lineup questions you have this week, next week, whenever. You know, just want to talk to, you know, any one of us here. We'd appreciate it.
No, you don't. No, you don't. All righty. We'll split up into week 9 here. Kind of give a little brief summary of who we think, who we're picking, and who we think may be a good play here. Thursday night game starts off Bills at the Jets. Bills think good play, LeSean McCoy, obviously, Kelvin Benjamin. I expect him to kind of come in and kind of make his presence known. Jets side of things, McCown might be a rough play given the Bills defense. So on that side, on the Jets side of things, I may stray away unless you got Robbie.
Yeah.
Might be a good pick to go with, but I'm going to go with the Bills for sure.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bills too. I think they're playing really well right now, and they can sense, you know, their first playoff appearance in who knows how long, and their first division title is in reach too. But I'm not gonna go with Benjamin right yet. I think he's not gonna know a lot of the playbook, especially on a short week.
I don't think their receivers now know a lot of the playbook.
I think an interesting thing, because he's so big. I mean, I think you can just line him up as like a tight end until Charles Clay gets back too. So that might be something you look at. Not all the time, obviously.
And get him hurt.
Not all the time, obviously. Block but him, yeah. I mean, just a couple plays here or there, just lined up right up against the line. But you want to see what he does and how they use him. But if you're struggling for receivers, he might be a good play.
Colts at Texans should be an easy one. Obviously, I'm gonna go with the Texans. Expect their defense to shut the Colts down. Marlon Mack maybe a couple more touches than he normally does, but DeAndre Hopkins, Fuller, Lamar Miller, Watson, see a lot of good things happening out of that way.
I expect this one to be a shootout that ends with Houston probably winning by, you know, two scores, because they're just flat out better on all facets of the ball, and they got that quarterback going, and he's going to keep going, I think. Another four touchdowns, probably, maybe. But a lot of those Colts might be good play. I mean, like you said, Mac, Hilton's kind of been down, but you gotta throw him in here because it's a good matchup. And even maybe Moncrief or Jack Doyle, if you're really hurting, might be good plays.
Next game, Bengals at the Jaguars. I'm going to take the Jaguars for sure. Expect Fournette to come back. We'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see who his backup's going to be to kind of change the pace back. Ivory looks like he's going to be inactive, possibly. Bortles probably going to do nothing. Their defense may do a little bit more, though, with given a sense that A.J. Green's probably going to get shut down on the outside the way their secondary is. And expect Andy Dalton to be on his back quite a bit of the game. So
yeah, that's a tough play for A.J. Green. Joe Mixon's kind of, like I said, he's running out of good game. This isn't a great matchup, but it's not a terrible one, although they did just get Marcel Darius from the Bills. So that's another run stuffer for the Jaguars here. So, but like I said, Mixon's running out of good matchups here.
And I'd sit Mixon if I had a chance, unless you're hurting.
I think he's got Indy coming up in a couple weeks and Tennessee next week. After that, Mixon's just looking like a bad play. But, yeah, I like Jacksonville too. I think that defense, like you said, A.J. Green could be in for a rough one, as Andy Dalton too. And if Blake Bortles, you know, just throws it, just treat him like Trubisky.
Yeah.
You know, don't let him throw it more than 15 times and you're going to get out of there with a victory.
Next game, Bucks at the Saints. This one I got to look for the Bucks to kind of end that streak that the Saints are on here. Figure their division game, going to want to definitely put it all on the table here and try to reestablish themselves in the NFC. Look for Mike Evans to have a big game. See him, even Deshaun, be interested to see what those two guys could do.
Yeah, so that's your upset of the week, right? That's a pretty, I think that's a pretty significant upset. I'm liking the Saints a lot right now. I think their defense is doing enough with that offense that they have. They could be in this thing right up until, you know, the end of January. So I'm gonna stick with the Saints here at home. I like them a lot. I like everyone, like any player, any, you know, 1, 2, 3 receiver. The number one running backs, get them in there. Kamara, Ingram, Ginn. If you have Snead, again, this is a bad week with the byes. Snead might be a good play. And, yeah, like you said, D-Jax and Evans are good plays. So I like everyone in that game, but give me New Orleans to win it.
All righty. Next game, Rams at the Giants. Should be kind of easy one. I got the Rams definitely putting the hammer down. But you never know with Eli. He's coming in and upset some people. So
yeah. Yeah, Rams coming off the bye here. I think you're gonna see a steady dose of Gurley. Janoris Jenkins has been suspended, so you're not gonna have him, you know, on Cooper Kupp or whoever you got at the receiver. The only like kind of dark horse guy, I guess, is, pardon the pun, Darkwa for the Giants. Oh, you could say Ty, but I can't say dark horse. All right, but yeah, I like Orleans Darkwa in this one. The Rams have a terrible run defense. They, you know, even though they got Aaron Donald and their just teams are gashing them. So if Eli can do anything at all, then that's going to open up the running game. And I kind of like it. I don't like the Giants to win, no way. But yeah, give me the Rams, and a little sleeper pick this week is Darkwa.
Okay, I like your brief essay on the Giants that who really suck, but way to go. Way to go. At least you look like the kid from Stranger Things. Falcons at the Panthers. I think this is a gimme. Falcons are going to take this one for sure. Panthers are a little bit in disarray after the Benjamin trade, and quite frankly, I see maybe a little bit more activity from McCaffrey, but bottom line is I think Coleman's going to have a big game this week, which is unfortunate because I got him over or Alex Collins starting over him. It's my third back, so it's like, right. Oof.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Panthers in this one. I think, like I said earlier, I think Funchess is going to get that knock up here. Curtis Samuel's the guy, the big play guy outside that Ted Ginn was for them the last few years. Funchess and Benjamin aren't the burners, so this guy could be the big play threat here. And the only other guy I like in this game, obviously, other than the big guys, is...
Until Keanu Neal knocks his ass out of the game. But
Mohamed Sanu. I like him. Again, I mentioned him earlier with Julio getting all the coverage. Sanu's having a good couple of weeks here since coming back. So, yeah, give me the Panthers. Start Sanu. Pick up Curtis Samuel and hope for good things from him. And start Funchess.
Anything else?
Next game?
Broncos at the Eagles. I got to say this is going to be an easy gimme. Eagles. Broncos are still trying to establish themselves, trying to come in with a new quarterback. It's going to be kind of ugly for them. And, you know, given the circumstance, who knows? Like, you were talking about Ajayi sitting out with this defense. It might be a good idea.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I'm going to start him because I got nothing else to do, but, you know.
I think this is going to be a defensive game. I think Denver is going to get after Philly a little bit. I think Philly's going to win the game, but I think Philadelphia might be the best defensive play this week just because you got Osweiler going in there. They have big play guys that can, you know, get turnovers and take them in for six. So there's not a whole lot I really love on either side of the offensive side of it. But I think Philly's going to find a way to win this game because they are the far better team.
Next game, Ravens at the Titans. I think it's going to be kind of a snoozer. Don't want to really get too deep into it, but be interesting to see the battle between Collins and Henry. See who gets more touches and kind of, you know, progresses into more of a starter.
Yeah, I mentioned Woodhead's returning. For Tennessee, Corey Davis, their first-round draft pick, the receiver, he's returning. So keep an eye on him. If someone dropped him in your leagues, which they might have because he's been out since, I think, week two or week three, he might be a guy to pick up. But I'm just going to, I'm going to go with Tennessee. I like them at home. I don't think Baltimore's very good.
Yeah, I think Tennessee's the right play right here. So we'll go with that one. Next one, Cardinals at the Niners. I got a feeling this is going to be a field goal game that we're not going to really talk about. So I'm not going to waste my breath too much on this. I'm just going to say if you have any of these guys on your team, I'd probably bench them unless you're really hurt.
Well, I think the defenses might have a good game because you don't really expect either Bethard or
it's going to be the first 0-0 game ever.
I don't think you trust any of those guys. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the running back Hyde or Adrian Peterson. Yeah, but this game, I'll just say I'm going to take Arizona. I think San Francisco is going to win two games, and I think they'll hit 0-9 first.
We'll go with the Niners. I think put a little pressure on their quarterback here to kind of pick something up, so maybe he gets,
Keep the starting job.
Oh, obviously, yeah.
So it's not like it's going to light a fire under him and he's going to go out there and play better. I mean, it might, but he knows in a couple weeks it's going to be Garoppolo's team.
Yeah, well, make use of it while you're there, man. Another team may want to pick your ass up, like the shitty-ass Bears. Redskins at the Seahawks. Definitely going to go with Seahawks on this one. I just don't trust the Redskins, for one. They don't got their stuff together. They don't know who to throw the ball to. Jordan Reed was faking it 1 week, looking like he's going to come back. But, the fact that they keep keeping Pryor out, I feel like that's really hurting them. I know Pryor stocks drop. People are dropping him. But, he's the type of guy that could definitely change your team around. And yeah, they've lacked in that whole situation. So, Chris Thompson, he may have a better game for sure, just because they're going to have to use him on the screen pass to get away from that D-line.
Yeah,
but aside from that, Seahawks is my pick.
Yeah, Seahawks is the pretty obvious one here. Might be the lock of the week. But Reed is going to be out this week, so Vernon Davis might be a good play. I think either Tyler Lockett or Paul Richardson, one of those two guys should have a good game, because you figure Josh Norman will probably be assigned to Doug Baldwin most of the game, although Richardson's been the better fantasy player this year. Baldwin's still their guy, so I figured Norman will be on him. So yeah, Richardson or Lockett, one of those guys should have a really good game. You just gotta hope you pick the right one.
Unfortunately, with the waiver wire, I had to pick both of them in one league. I'm like, oh well, I guess I'll go with Lockett. But next game, Chiefs at the Cowboys. I definitely got to take the Chiefs in this one, given the Zeke injury, or not injury, suspension.
Yeah.
Something I expect a bounce-back game from Kareem Hunt.
Oh, absolutely.
Tyreek Hill also. Expect them to kind of have some big games here, and we'll see what happens here. Maybe Smith goes down and Mahomes gets to show his presence.
That'd be interesting. I'm going to go Kansas City, too. Dallas without Zeke is not going to be, too great offensively. I mean, Prescott should have to do more, and this is the time we're going to see if he's going to be a legit quarterback, and that could mean good things for guys like Dez and Witten. And
which Dez has been a big disappointment this year.
This week they're going to have to throw the ball a little bit more, and you got to keep an eye out between McFadden and Morris, who's going to be the guy, because you got to have 6 weeks of this guy, whoever it is. So keep an eye out on that. Maybe make a trade for him.
Possibly. Well, next game, Raiders at the Dolphins. I think this should be an easy one. It might be closer than we think, but I think bottom line is Dolphins are not going to do nothing with Matt Moore. Kenyon Drake's going to be getting a little bit more activity, which could be good for the fact that no one's got a lot of tape on him. But bottom line is I think the Raiders are going to take this at least by 10, maybe two TDs.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable with either of the Dolphins, Williams or Drake, as a every down runner. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch. But Miami just is, like I said, the worst offense in the league. Oakland's coming around offensively a little bit here. So I look for them to kind of do enough to get this victory. And you never know. I mean, this looks like a slam dunk for Oakland, but you just never know in the NFL. But yeah, I'm definitely going to go with Oakland in this one too. Lynch is going to be back. Maybe, a week off, technically 2 weeks off, because he only played like 5 snaps 2 weeks ago. So yeah, Maybe that's a good thing, and Lynch gets it going again.
Final game, Monday night, Lions at the Packers.
Whew. I think this is going to be a close game, but I think it's going to be a boring game. I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of scoring here. There might be a couple of nice runs out of Aaron Jones, couple of good passes out of Stafford, but really I don't see either team really stepping up to the table. Minnesota's just loving it right now because they're going to just coast probably to a division title.
Unfortunately.
But for some reason, I think Green Bay at home, and I'll take Green Bay to win.
I got to disagree. I think the Lions are going to go in there. I can't tell you the last time that they won in Green Bay, but I know it's not a consistent thing. Probably not since Calvin Johnson was there, say the least. But I think the bottom line is Marvin Jones could be... Is that like your eighth Kit Kat, man?
My fourth.
Fuck, you go trick-or-treating too?
It's leftover candy.
Sure, sure. Anyway, I'm going to take the Lions here. Definitely going to beat the Packers. And like I said, if Bears are the Bears that they normally are and they lose, as long as the Packers aren't winning, I kind of feel a little better. It doesn't hurt as bad. So, it is what it is. But with that said, that should be the final wrap-up.
Yeah, one more time. We got the phone number for you, 219-576-6797. Leave us a voicemail. Email, if you have that still, johngsfantasyhustle at gmail.com. Or Twitter, it's been quiet, but it's at fantasy_hustle. Thank you.
Report them. Report them. Don't follow them. Report them. For the one person who's out there listening, we appreciate it.
Thanks.
Good night. Peace.